This is Mitchell Dye with Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
We will move to Associate Professor Bryony Dow, who's joining us to just discuss World Elder Abuse Day, which was yesterday. Associate Professor, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, very good. Thanks for joining us. And just tell us about the overall issue of elder abuse.
Well, World Elder Abuse Day is an international event, really just to shine the light on the issue of elder abuse across the world. And yesterday, the main organisation that deals with it in Melbourne and Victoria, called Senior Rights Victoria, got purple lights put on at the Melbourne Town Hall. So that was to literally shine a light on the issue. So it's really when somebody either commits an act of harm or fails to do something that in the end causes harm to an older person. So we think that it probably happens to about 1 in 10 or 1 in 20 older people in every year. And it involves things like financial abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, and even in the worst cases, sexual abuse.
That's quite an interesting statistic there. 1 in 10 or 1 in 20 is quite a big number.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But you talk about shining the light there. Do you think that it needs to have a light shone on it because maybe it doesn't attract as much media coverage as some of the other issues or forms of abuse in our society?
Yeah, I think it definitely does. And I also think it's largely hidden. It mainly occurs within the family. So we've just done some research on this, and it looks like about over 90% of cases are occurring within families. Mm. And, you know, about 60 to 70% of them are actually adult children. So one of the reasons that it's hidden is because it's associated with quite a lot of shame. I mean, if you can imagine if you're an older person and your son or daughter moves back into your house and then starts ripping you off financially or abusing you in some way, it's not something that you're going to feel very good about, you know, letting other people know about. And you may even feel that there's nothing that can be done and that it's just a family issue. So I think that's one of the reasons. Certainly the other reason, I think, is, as you say, it's not perhaps a sexy topic or as kind of doesn't receive as much media attention as other issues, except when you get a really horrendous case, I suppose.
Yeah, and you also mentioned there that the people suffering the abuse may be embarrassed or a bit sort of reluctant to come forward and highlight that abuse. But I just wonder as well whether they feel as confident within themselves at being their own spokesperson, you know, if they have the ability to effectively articulate what's going on. Is that an issue as well?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and that's where Senior Rights Victoria, and I will give you the number before I hang up, that Senior Rights Victoria come in. They're really, if someone comes forward to them to talk about it, they're not about doing any, you know, taking any action or anything that the older person themselves don't want. Mm. They just really help the person to articulate what's going on and to identify what their rights are and what potential action they might be able to take.
I mean, in my experience, these people that could be the victims of elder abuse tend to rely on older sons and daughters and adult children to be their spokesperson to various organisations as required. So to have that person that they rely on and trust in that position is just, it's incredible.
Yeah, well, no, that's exactly right. The person that you're meant to be able to trust and rely on for care and support being the person who's either actively abusing you or another form of abuse that is known as social abuse, and that's really where you prevent the older person from getting access to other supports or medical care, or you actually sort of isolate them socially so that whatever's going on in the family home isn't seen by others.
And I suppose the question is, what motivates people in these sorts of situations? Like, for example, financial abuse, there may be some financial gain there, but what motivates them for example, social abuse?
Yeah, well, mostly the social abuse is hiding other forms of abuse. So it's actually, you know, where perhaps the abuser might have a drug or alcohol or gambling problem or something, they're using their parents' money to finance that. And then they don't want that to be known. So often the social abuse is actually about just hiding other forms of abuse. Recent research also showed that in so many cases, you get all various sorts of abuse happening at the same time. So it's not like they're, you know, So mostly financial abuse occurs in a context where it's also emotional abuse and social abuse and so on.
And is it possible to get an idea of a trend as to whether this is increasing or decreasing, or is it just so unknown that we can't really speculate?
It's very unknown. We haven't got... It's in some countries of the world, they've done prevalence studies, so where they've tried to identify how much of this is going on, and then they could repeat those and see whether or not it was increasing or decreasing. We expect that it's increasing just because we have more older people, but that doesn't mean the prevalence is increasing just as much as, you know, just the amount is increasing, if you like. But we don't know in Australia. We haven't ever done that sort of study here.
Yeah. And
we don't know.
I mean, yesterday was about shining a light on this situation, but I suppose what do we need to do to tackle the problem in our own communities? Is there things that people can do?
I think so. I mean, I think one of the things is just being aware of it and recognising it. So people like doctors, GPs, you know, notice when these things are occurring. Banks are another key area where people need to be aware. People working in banks need to be aware that it's occurring, so they can make sure that if they see a situation where it appears that an older person is being coerced, that they can get that older person on their own and make sure that their wishes are actually being adhered to. I think it's about awareness. It's about noticing and doing something about it. But it's also about dealing with some of the underlying problems. So, for example, housing and homelessness is an underlying problem which causes sometimes the adult child to move back into the family home. And also sometimes what happens is the older person is forced out of their home. So there's two ways in which, I guess, homelessness can be an issue.
That's an interesting point, because I suppose on one hand the older person may be dependent on the adult child, but on the other hand, when you look at property prices and that type of thing, the adult child could be dependent on the older person for their house and accommodations. That's interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you have sort of some case studies, or maybe a case study, of just what's happened and how we've managed to try and resolve that particular situation?
Yeah, so a kind of classic situation is when the older child moves back into the family home. So one example is an older son moving back into the family home with his mother, and he had major mental health problems. But he started to incur bills that she had to pay. So things like internet bills, instead of doing, you know, taking money out of her purse to buy beer rather than groceries, and also emotionally, you know, abusing her, so threatening her, you know, that he would stop her from doing the things she wanted to do and so on and so forth. And so she approached Senior Rights Victoria, and they worked with her to identify what her rights are and so on. Yeah. But in the end, what they really needed to do was to help her help him. And that's often the case, that it's actually, because it is a family scenario, the parent often actually doesn't want any sanctions against that adult child, if you like. But what that adult child needed was mental health services. So although Senior Rights Victoria can't directly do anything with him, they helped her by helping her become aware of what he could, not only of her rights, but what he could do to help himself. So, you know, that's a scenario where you can actually address the problem, not so much through the older person, but perhaps through dealing with the underlying problem that's causing the abuse in the first place.
Because if an adult child is abusing their own parents, then there's something not right there, you would have to say. And that with that person, you know, it's not necessarily a problem with the parents, but it's a problem perhaps with the child. Whether it's gambling or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's an interesting, just what you were mentioning there about what was involved in terms of being a positive solution for both parties rather than a negative solution, which may involve sanctions and that type of thing.
Yeah, that's right, because that's one of the other reasons that people don't want to come forward, is they're actually afraid that, you know, that something bad will happen to the abuser. You know, they'll be, you know, taken to the police or forced to move out, or, you know, that the situation will be made worse, or in fact that they'll get more abused, that they'll yeah, that they'll punish them or pay them back in some way for reporting the abuse.
And is Seniors Rights Victoria, is that just a not-for-profit organisation or is it government-funded?
It's government-funded, yeah, it's funded by the Victorian Government. And they're the people to call. If anyone feels that they are in a situation of elder abuse, that's who they should call. Can I give you the number?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's 1300 368 821.
So
they've got lawyers and they've got case managers who can help people work through what's going on for them.
So on that number, any person in the community could ring if they're concerned about a case that they're seeing. It doesn't necessarily have to be the participants.
Well, it does have to be the participant for any action to be taken,
right,
because they can't take action on behalf of somebody without them wanting that.
Yeah.
But they'll give advice. You know, they'll give general advice if somebody else rings.
So that's really, I suppose that's the main thing that we can do about if you want to take action on this, is to just let people know and be aware of it so that they can take action, yeah.
Exactly. Because, I mean, they're adults. They need to be able to make a choice about what they want to do about the situation, but they need to know what their choices are.
Yeah. That's good. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I really appreciate it. It's been a very interesting insight.
Okay, my pleasure.
Thank you very much, Associate Professor Bryony Dow there.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Day. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.